is thebluerockrestaurant.com. The Arkell Museum at Canajoharie, presenting An American in Venice, James McNeil Whistler and His Legacy, with etchings by Whistler, John Marin, and more, arkellmuseum.org. Joyo's Jewelers, Del Mar, New York, specializing in custom jewelry and repair, laser welding, designer jewelry, and gifts, joyosjewelers.com. And Berkshire Health Systems, working to improve the health of people in the Berkshires and surrounding communities, berkshirehealthsystems.org.
Hello again, and welcome back to the Vox Pop, WMC's live daily afternoon call-in talk show in which you are the stars. I'm Alan Chartok. Manhattan federal judge Shira Shindlin says the stop and frisk policy unfairly targets black and Hispanic men and has ordered New York Police Department cops to test out body cameras, hoping it will discourage needless stop and frisks. Bloomberg is appealing the decision, arguing the presence of cameras will, quote, be a nightmare, and that the policy is there because it is effective in keeping the city safe. If the radically different takes on the issue that the Times and the Post and the Daily News all printed today are any indication of how this issue is hitting the public, this is sure to be a contentious debate. So what do? You call 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. You can also post comments at the bottom of today's show page on the Vox Pop section of our website, wamc.org/VoxPop. You can comment below today's Vox Pop wall post on our Facebook page, facebook.com/WAMC Radio. You can tweet your questions and comments at WAMC Vox Pop, and you can email us at voxpop@wamc.org. If I were you, that's the one I'd use. Email us at voxpop@wamc.org. We'll read them right here on the air. So here's what you got to know. There is this big debate. If you listen to the NPR story this morning, as I did, you will know that that National Public Radio and the news went directly to New York City. They did a terrific roundup, and they had people of color on both sides of this, believe it or not, who were saying, "Hey, it means our lives." As we said on this morning's roundtable, we're down to 300 murders from 3,000. There are people who really believe that this is justified. On the other hand, how would you like it to be stopped, or your child to be stopped and said, because of the color of your skin, we are stopping you? And that clearly is going on. So I want everybody to call. Look, you know, I'll be honest with you. It's very important, if we're going to have a Vox Pop, that everybody gets on the phone right now and lets us know what you're thinking about this. And by the way, don't be scared. Don't let anybody tell you that you can't call, no matter what your opinion is. We value it. We want to hear from you. And it's much, much more interesting when everybody who has an idea, don't say, well, the traffic is going this way, so this is the way that I want to go, too. So let's go to Jesse in Schenectady. Okay, Jesse, you're on.
Hello.
Hey, Jess.
How you doing?
So far, so good.
So far, so good, yeah. You know, I'm a 57-year African-American male.
Yep.
You know, and I live in Schenectady, you know, and I have a 19-year-old son, you know, and I've done a lot of community service here over the years. And I also grew up in the Bronx, all right, and then partly in Queens and in Brooklyn. Now, the mayor down there, the mayor there, and the police chief, they can say, you know, like, okay, murders are down, this and that's down. But one thing for sure, I've experienced that myself, just having been stopped walking along minding your business, you know what I'm saying?
Sure.
And my son, who's 19, he's been stopped here in Schenectady, you know? And like, I grew up with that, knowing that when you look at a police officer looks at you, you look at him and like wonder if he's going to stop you or if he's just going to keep going. You know what I'm saying? And
sure.
Mind your business. Now,
sure.
The mayor and the police chief, they don't have to worry about that. They've never been stopped, and I doubt they ever will. When they were younger, no one stopped them, and I doubt they ever had to worry about their kids being stopped.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? But when you actually experience that, that's when you can speak to that. Some people may speak to like, oh, well, you know, it makes us a lot safer. But when you've experienced having that happen to you, you know what I'm saying, you would think different. You know, because we're supposed to have rights, you know, in this country. This is a free country. You're supposed to be able to walk, the freedom of speech. You're supposed to be able to walk, and then as you feel free, You know, even they say in a court of law, you're innocent until proven guilty. You know, but that's not the case.
Okay, let me ask you a question, because I was listening to NPR this morning, and they were interviewing people of color down, in Brooklyn and other areas who were saying, hey, yeah, it's true. Everything you've said is true. On the other hand, they said, we're safer because there's less crime. How do you react to them?
When you say they're safer because of less
crime. Not me saying it, they saying it.
No, actually, when they say that, I bet you a dime to a donut that they've never been stopped.
Oh, no, they said that they had. Some of them said they had been stopped, sure, or the kids had been stopped, sure. Jess, did you ever have the so-called the conversation with your child?
I have. And you know what my son said? That, you know, like even when he and I both marched in the Trayvon Martin march.
Sure.
Okay? And my son, you know what he asked me, Dad? What did you do about it? You know what I'm saying? And that's what just came to my mind.
Yeah.
That's why I'm the first one calling. Let me do something. Because that's what my kid asked me.
Yeah,
Dad,
yeah.
What do you do about it? Because I tell them, if police officers stop you, first thing you do is get on your phone. Officer, I'm calling my dad.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But even if
he gets to that phone, there's always the possibility, you know, quote, he was reaching for something.
I'll put it this way.
Yeah.
I live in Schenectady, and I live in a nice neighborhood. It's full of houses, predominantly white. My son said, Dad, let's go for a walk. I said, good, let's go for a walk. Beautiful day, you know what I'm saying, the dad and his son, you know what I'm saying, we're out for a walk. Do you know that a police officer stopped us while we were walking because somebody called them and said there were two black males looking around, walking up in people's yards looking around, and not until he asked me for my ID and saw my address, I said, I live in the neighborhood. I can walk around here if I please to.
Yeah.
Now, what about that? And my son, you know, he's like, hey, fellas, first. But after he saw that I lived there, well, sir, now I'm sir. At first, I'm hey, fellas. Then I turned into a sir.
Yeah.
You know, and my son, he was a college student.
Yeah.
You know, at that point in time.
Yeah, Jess, you know?
You want to know why people, you know, young kids don't like, you know, police officers? That's why, when you do that to them.
Yeah. Hey, and listen, there. Believe it or not, you did a wonderful thing. You started five people are on the phones, and we're going to give everybody a chance. And I thank you for your wonderful telephone call, and I really appreciate it. Thanks.
Thank you for what you do.
Okay. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Let's go to Tom in Saugerties. Tom in Saugerties, you're up.
Yeah, I think we can never be too safe, you know. And I suggest that we have a black police force created that goes into the white suburban neighborhoods and stops and frisks everybody because they're white. I mean, wouldn't we all be safer if we did that?
Answer your own question. Since you're having so much fun with a very modest proposal, as Jonathan Swift might have said.
Having so much fun with a very modest proposal. No, I'm not having fun at all, Alan. I've been living in this country since I was born. It's been open season on black people since I was a child.
Yep.
Trayvon Martin, for example, the gentleman who was just on the phone who had the police called on him for walking in his own neighborhood. Someday before I die, it would be nice if the war on black people would be called off.
Do you think we're making any progress at all, Tom?
No, I do not. I think we're going backwards. I think Trayvon Martin shows it. I think the laws that are written to prevent black people from voting show it. They're at that again.
Yep.
The robocalls to black people telling them you're a felon or you've been accused of this. If you show up and try to vote, you'll be arrested. This is all highly documented. We still have divide and conquer going on the fascist radio stations like 103.1, where they still promote divisiveness and white people are supposed to be terrified of black people. I'm sick to death of it. Will it ever stop? I grew up in Catskill, New York, where race relations were excellent. We didn't hate each other. We did get along, okay? And it just seems to me, will this ever end? Will black people ever stop being under attack by this culture and this government?
Well, Tom, you've made that point a couple of times, and I thank you for calling. Appreciate it very much. Okay, let's go to Joanne in Essex County. The telephone number is 1-800-348-2551. Joanne, you're on.
Yes, I remember when Giuliani became mayor of New York City and how he reduced crime. There was a big Baptist convention down in Madison Square Garden, and so I happened to go down to another place down there nearby for a meeting. And there, he had police out on every corner just to show presence. They didn't go out and frisk people or follow people around. And that is how he cleaned up the crime in Times Square. It was drastically reduced. And
Joanne, I was there too.
I remember that, yeah. Times Square was cleaned up.
Well, what he did, of course, I remembered very well, is if somebody came out on the street with a squeegee, he arrested him. And if somebody And if somebody jumped over a turnstile, he arrested him. And that is generally was the playbook. For how he did it. He was hardly not an activist when it came to locking people up, that's for sure.
Well, at least they were committing crimes, even though they were minor. But the other thing I want to point out is that ever since 9/11, the police forces in this country, from the big cities to the little town I'm in, are acting like paramilitary. They have military-type equipment. They do not do community policing. They're not helpful. And I heard one prominent person quote that everybody is suspect and the public has to be taught a lesson, which is the attitude of the police in this country now.
How are things up in Essex County?
Not good.
Is that right?
They are harassing the poor people that have nowhere to go but to hang out on the street on hot days. They pick up people that have mental problems, and the jail is full of them. And they're nasty. And we're trying to get rid of our police force, and they're costing us $1 million a year here in this little town I'm from. And we can't get rid of them because two retired policemen are on the town board. And
isn't that democracy? People are voting for them?
Well, they shouldn't be on the police committee voting on the police budget. Mm. There's a conflict of interest.
Yeah.
But I just feel that, you know, that the whole attitude of the police force, and a lot of them are people who have been over in these Middle East wars and are used to kicking in doors and frightening civilians. And now that attitude is back here.
Okay, Joanne, we're up against a heartbreak here.
Yeah.
We thank you for your call. And call again, okay? The telephone number here is 1-800-348-2551. We'll be back. There's one free phone, Maxine and Richard and Wayne.
Support for WAMC comes from the Honest Way Food Co-op, open at their new location, 100 Watervliet Avenue, Albany, offering local and organic produce, groceries, and more. HonestWay.coop. Smith College Museum of Art, presenting Summer of Love, psychedelic posters from SCMA, art from 1960s San Francisco and the American counterculture. Smith.edu/art museum. Cafe Capriccio, offering private catering for groups of 10 to 40 and escorted tourists to Tuscany. Locations in Albany and Saratoga Springs. CafeCapriccio.com for reservations. And Reform Pilates Studio, Saratoga Springs, teaching Ramona Pilates, providing a fully equipped studio with Gratz apparatus, private and small group classes. ReformYourBody.com.
Okay, we're back. This is Alan. We're having an interesting discussion on stop and frisk, racism in America, and wherever you want to go. 1-800-348-2551. Let's go to Maxine. Okay, Maxine, your turn. You're on.
Hello?
Hello.
Where to start? Yes, of course we've gone backward. When public officials carry on for 4 years or more over whether their president deserves to be called an American or not, when it's been documented about 1,000 times over. Does that sound like racism? I think so.
Is that a question? Because he is...
It's not a question.
Because, Maxine, he is the president. Somebody elected a president.
Excuse me. What I'm saying is we've gone backward when these people are carrying on like that. Still, there is no excuse for that after 4 years.
Did you ever think, Maxine, that you'd see a black president of the United States in your life?
No, of course I didn't. I'm so excited. No. And so we've gone, maybe that's it. Maybe we haven't gone as far backward as I think. Maybe we just can't go forward as fast as I'd like.
Well, we got a black president. We have a black attorney general.
Attorney general, exactly.
I mean.
So anyway, the using the Trayvon Martin thing, Zimmerman was told not to get out of his car, and of course he did. And we the rest is history. But for somebody to say out loud on television and not be shushed up that hoodies are a sign of somebody being a criminal.
I don't know, but I don't say that. You don't say that. You know, this business of, you know, everybody's guilty because one or two idiots are saying stupid things.
Well, what I'm saying is that's why we should be very cautious about what we allow our police to do.
Okay, and so you've said it. Maxine, thanks for the call. I hope you'll call again, okay?
You're very welcome.
Yeah, okay. 1-800-348-2551. Richard in North Adams. Okay, Richard, your turn. Go.
Yes, I'm against stop and frisk, but I'm in favor of more street monitor cameras. And that's my main comment
but
on
don't,
that.
But Richard, don't you think that, look, I'm not saying I disagree with you, because I don't.
Yeah.
But don't you think, though, that there are things about those cameras that are, frankly,
intrusive?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you think it's
more of a problem for us of the white middle class, and the stop and frisk thing is such an irritant to people who are youths and who are from rough scenes in general that, boy, I would say cameras are... I can live with the cameras, I guess. I certainly wouldn't want to live with the stop and frisk stuff on me, which isn't going to happen to me as white middle class, and even though I've got a beard and shaggy hair.
That's pretty bad.
It's bad, but, police in the North Adams area see that as the artist look. So
I get you. Richard, thanks for the great call. Appreciate it.
Okay.
All right, let's go to... Wayne in Germantown. Okay, Wayne, you're on.
Hi, Alan. How are you today?
Well, I'm okay. How are you? What do you got to say?
Let me try to make this quick as possible.
But before you do, are you speaking into the phone? Because we're getting a big reverb here. I don't know what it is. Are you?
Okay. I took off speakerphone.
Yeah, you don't want to do that, right? Okay. Go ahead.
First thing I would like to say is that being a man of African descent born in this country, in a way I've been on both sides of the issue just because of how I grew up. You know, my Uncle Bertie was, retired from New York City Police Department. He was a detective. And my father was a businessman when I was growing up, so he was very friendly with the police, you know, in our area. But having grown up, now I'm 60, and all this stuff like, you know, Trayvon Martin case going on and things like that, you know, which to me, he was totally out of order. But I would like to draw a parallel. Just as people of color and poor people experience economic crises before the dominant culture in this country, you understand what I mean?
Indeed.
It was like canary in the coal mine type thing.
Sure.
Now you have a lot of middle-class people in the same position. I believe it's the same thing with this stop and frisk, same type of idea. It's happening to people of color now, but I would be very cautious as to, you know, it's in other words, it's going to get worse.
The
security state is always increases their powers. They never will decrease their power.
Well, frankly, Wayne, that is a very interesting point, and you're the first one to raise it today.
Can I say one other thing real quick?
Of course, yeah.
Okay, I would also like to, for everybody in considering this this topic, some comments I heard from Tim Wise and talking about statistics. The statistics, crime statistics in the black community are, nationwide are actually going down. But crime statistics in the dominant culture and in the poor communities are, you know, roughly the same. Maybe even drug use is probably greater on college campuses and, you know, places like that than in the ghetto. And I'll also end by quoting a police, shut the door, please. A police chief. You know, crime is everywhere. It's just where you want to look for it. You know, if you look for it, you will find it. It's just a matter of the dominant culture, the dominant power structure is going to determine where they look for it. But guarantee you, wherever they look for it, they'll find it. That's what they do.
Wayne, thank you very much for the call and for some very interesting points. I was particularly impressed by, you know, the concept that the canary in the mine. Thanks very much, Wayne. Appreciate it.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for the chance to bring that out.
Okay, great. Let's go to Jaime in Steventown. Is it Jaime? Hello. Okay, going once, going twice. Mr. Steventown, are you there? Okay. Hello. 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 This isn't good.
Yes, it's Jaime.
Yeah, Jaime, you're breaking the rules. Go ahead.
What are the rules?
The rules are you got to stay on the phone so that when I call on you, you're there. That's what the rule is. Go ahead.
Okay. It was only 2 seconds that I didn't get on the phone.
No, that's not true. I counted to about a half an hour. Go ahead.
Oh, my God. That's a big difference from mine.
Yeah.
Hey, I got something about stop and frisk. I was very impressed by the people who were interviewed on NPR this morning who lived in the neighborhoods where stop and frisk is prevalent.
I agree, and I mentioned that earlier in this program. I don't know if you were listening, but yes, it was very interesting.
I did. Yeah. I did hear you say that. Mm-hmm. And I think that stop and frisk may be a valuable tool. However, the way the New York City police have been using it is very, very bad. Especially when they tell someone to empty their pockets, and in doing so, someone pulls out, usually a small amount of marijuana, which according to law is if you have it out in public, you can be arrested on a serious charge. If you're just found carrying that drug, it is a misdemeanor and it's a ticketed offense.
Okay, so?
So what the police do is they say, empty your pockets. They pull out this small amount of marijuana. They say, oh, you have it in public. You're under arrest. They bring him in.
Well, I think that's changing now in terms of the marijuana laws. But go ahead. I mean, I see your point. Your point is...
Well, that's how it's been running for a while. Right. Hopefully that will end. And also, as long as I think the police do the stop and frisk fairly, that is by stopping people of all colors, all minorities, whether they're white, black, yellow, whatever, then perhaps it's something that's good for these neighborhoods.
Okay, but let me just ask you this, Jaime. If, in fact, they do that and they start stopping and frisking everybody equally, do you think it would encourage more stopping and frisking or that the whole situation would go away? Do you understand? Are you following me?
Well, I don't know. I don't know how that would lead to the whole situation going away.
Well, no. I mean, let's say you walk out on the street and you are said in order to comply with the federal judge, they say, please stop, empty your pockets, turn around and get frisked. Would you be angry?
Well, you know, the other thing that they say is that these police officers have to have a cause, and that's another way that this thing has to be tweaked. That's a hard thing to monitor, but they must have cause. They must look suspicious, and I'm sure there's plenty of white people walking around who might look suspicious as compared to black or Latino or whatever.
Why is that? In other words, I'm not following you.
There's people of all stripes and colors who might look suspicious, who might look like they're doing something.
Well, suspicion is in the eyes of the beholder.
That's right. That's right. Well, there has to be, you know, they say there has to be some kind of cause for police to look at these people.
I got two questions for you. Number one, did anybody ever put that sign in back up there in Steventown where they stole the sign? Remember that? It said the only one in America.
No. Welcome to the only Steventown on Earth.
Yes.
That wasn't stolen. For some reason, they were all taken down at some point. But as one law enforcement agent once said to me, thank God it's the only Steventown on Earth.
Okay. Listen, thank you so much for calling. Appreciate it. Yeah.
All right.
Okay, bye. Let's go to, let's see. Looks like maybe Robert in New Windsor. Hello, New Windsor.
Hello?
Hello, New Windsor. Are you there?
Yeah, actually, my name is Rupert.
Rupert, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry.
No problem.
You don't own the New York Post by any chance, do you?
No.
Go ahead, Rupert.
Yeah, my opinion on the stop and frisk, you know, for years, you know, they've been doing racial profiling because they only pull over black or Latino men. If they were doing everybody, it would have been okay. And the second thing is what the judge did was great. They do need to monitor them, and the police need to be wearing cameras on them. So that way it'd be good for both parties.
But wait a second. You mean to say that if they did everybody that you think it would be, I don't want to put words in your mouth. You said okay?
Well, I would say, you know, safe. I don't want to use the word okay, but it would be safe to have the police have cameras on them when they're stopping people and, you know, with reasonable suspicion that they have, you know, reasonable suspicion pulling these people over.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Don't you think we would be approaching a police state at that point of the game?
Yeah.
If everybody's just being stopped and frisked.
Yeah, I used to live in New York, and believe me, I had my fair share of being, you know, pulled over and stopped, and they say, oh, you made the fit the description of two robbers. You know, me and my brother, once I got pulled over. So I know. Thank God I don't longer live down there.
Yeah. Hey, Rupert, thank you for calling, and good luck with the post. Talk to you soon.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, bye. Hello, Rick from Catskill. You're on.
Hi, Alan. I just wanted to comment. I've been doing some teaching at one of the local correctional facilities, and when I showed up my first day, they told me that the kids, and these are basically young people, that they're basically 75% African American, 24% Hispanic, and 1% white.
Okay.
And I was a little disturbed by that information. And, you know, they basically come from different parts of the state, and they've committed some pretty serious crimes. But I couldn't help but wonder why white people weren't doing the same thing, or whether or not they were being picked up, you know, particularly in those neighborhoods. And you know, I certainly feel that's probably the case. And I just wanted to comment about something you said about a black president. And if you remember the last guy we had, he was not particularly popular, I think, globally and maybe also in this country. So I think, you know, the powers that be might have said, you know, this would really solve a lot of problems.
Oh, so it's a conspiracy.
Oh, it's certainly a conspiracy, isn't it?
No, no, it's not.
Do you have your papers, Alan?
Okay. So what else you got?
Say again?
What else you got?
Oh, that's it. I just wanted to comment about the correctional facility. That it does seem to be, you know, basically mostly black.
Oh, by the way, there's no question. There's no question. Yeah. I mean, I think it's one of the things that you hear from our attorney general right now saying, he said it, he put it right out there. And, you know, I mean, listen, Rick, we don't have to be, you know, none of us have to be Einstein to figure out that We brought African Americans, we brought in chains to this country. We didn't let them vote. We had constitutional issues with them. We made them know the Constitution in order to vote. It's still going on, that kind of thing, stories right now. And so when you put people into an economic hole, you know, the outcomes are predictable.
If I could just comment a little on that, just
sure.
To say that imagine 300 years of being
sure.
In that situation
sure.
Where your families have been destroyed, all the things that were passed on from generation
yeah.
To generation,
sure.
and then people wonder why they have such difficulty, you know, getting back on their feet. And I don't understand why people have that problem of understanding that personally.
Rick, I thank you for your call. A lot of people calling from Catskill today. It may be the place of the day. Thanks very much. Appreciate it.
Okay. Thanks. Bye.
1-800-348-2551. Let's go to Ellen in Buckland. Okay. Ellen, you are on. Go ahead.
Yes. Hi, thank you.
Sure.
The only comment I want to make is respond to the fact that people say crime is down because of stop and frisk. Statistically, crime apparently was down way before the stop and frisk policy went into effect. That was on Democracy Now! This morning. So it's not stop and frisk that's causing the decline in crime. Mm-hmm. That happened before stop.
Well, there's a lot of debate about that. And as you know, the mayor is quite certain about that. The police commissioner is quite certain about it. A lot of politicians are quite certain.
But you could look at the statistics.
Well, one does. The real question is, Ellen, when it started. In other words, it didn't say, today we're starting stop and frisk. It didn't happen that way. It happened that, and it's always been, that somebody of color is treated as somebody who is suspicious. Bob Dylan had long hair in New Jersey, and they pulled him in. They didn't know, the two guys didn't even know who he was. Anyway, Ellen, those are good points, and we appreciate them very much. Thank you.
Yeah, and so that should be verified. Okay, thank you.
Thanks again.
Bye.
Yeah, bye. 1-800-348-2551. Let's go to let's go to a break. I know what we'll do, and we'll come right back for Jerry and Annie and Jim and so many others.
Support for WAMC comes from Four Seasons Natural Food Store and Cafe, Saratoga Springs, New York. Locally owned and operated since 1988, open 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. 7 days a week, FourSeasonsNaturalFoods.com. Performance Automotive, Pittsfield, hosting the 2013 Saab Club of North America Convention, August 15th through 18th in Albany. Car show, swap meet, music, food, and more, SaabPerformance.com. Charles Padula DDS, Union Avenue, Schenectady, providing bonded composites and air abrasion decay removal, which helps to eliminate needles and drills. PaduladDDS.com. And the 24th Annual Bard Music Festival, exploring the works and world of composer Igor Stravinsky through concerts, panels, lectures, special events, and more, August 16th through 18th, fishercenter.bard.edu.
Hello, it's Alan. I'm here with the Vox Bob, and you're calling in, and we're talking about stop and frisk, and the phones have been, well, let's just put it this way, brisk to overflowing. With us is Mr. Thomas Jobe. Wherever you are, he'll be there.
Here I am.
So the grapes of wrath.
Here I am. So we got two folks emailed in to voxpop@wamc.org. Charles says, great, important topic. I'm a 54-year-old white guy living in Battery Park City and East Chatham. I get stopped on Wall Street by NYPD and appreciate the even-handed approach, even if it is token. I would like people to know that when I am detained, I hear officers calling in details on my minority colleagues being searched. These young guys are always referred to as citizens, which I think is classy. The judge has a view, but the process seems to work well. And Rich writes in saying, while Rudy Giuliani took credit for the drop in crime during his tenure, statistics showed the crime rate was dropping before the expansion of the police force and their resultant draconian measures. Do you have thoughts on this?
No, the thoughts are for you, not for me.
There you go.
Thank you very much,
Thomas. You're very
welcome.
Appreciate
it. Let's go to Jerry in Schenectady. All right, Jerry, you're on.
Yes, thanks, Alan. Good afternoon.
And good afternoon to you.
I'm a supporter of the stop and frisk policy, and if anyone thinks I'm being unsympathetic to minorities when I say that, I want to point out that minorities may be accused of most of the commission of crimes, but most of the victims of crimes are in the minority community as well.
Mm-hmm.
So my question would be to anyone, what would you rather have happen to you? Would you rather be frisked, or would you rather be the victim of a crime?
And that, by the way, was exactly the point of the NPR story this morning.
Well, I didn't even listen to it.
When people of color, you could go to NPR.org and listen to it.
When
they had several people of color saying exactly that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I think it's a draconian choice, to be honest with you. Do you want your kid out there and his kid walks out and you know, a cop pulls him over in contradistinction to others and searches him? It's got to be somewhat depressing, don't you think? And on the other hand, On the other hand, if in fact it is true, and many people are saying it isn't true, I happen to believe it is statistically, that crime is dropping, and as a result, partially of this. Now, I don't know if that's what's causing it, but if it is, would you rather be, humiliated or maybe dead?
Right, right. I have to think. I'm willing to listen to the police on this and believe at least it's a major factor for the drop in crime. And this is another reason underscoring why we have to keep the unemployment rate down as low as possible.
Sure.
If a lot of these people are working, they have an income. They're too tired to go around dressing in gang clothes at night and stuff like that. And this it's going to drop even farther.
Well, let me just say, Jerry, thank you for calling. As I said in the beginning of the show, all ideas are welcome here. And while you may not be in the majority here, I am delighted that you called and gave your opinion. Thank you so much.
Well, and thank you, Alan.
Yeah, bye.
Good day.
Let's go to Annie in Troy. Annie in Troy, you're on.
Yep. Hello. I'm in Troy, and I've lived downtown. I'm white. I've lived downtown since I was 24. I'm 68 now. I live right by the restaurants. I think three things. One, and the most important, is the future of our country, is all the people participating. If you intimidate all black men between the ages of 12 and 42, and make them anxious about the police, you've really wiped out a great participatory group of people. And I think that's it. And that goes along with all those black men who have been in jail and have real difficulties finding any kind of job. We've got to do something about all the people who've been in jail. We've got to clean up their records and let them have real jobs and get to vote, especially for president. So that's number one. Number two, I've lived downtown all this time, and I see that drug arrests are made on black people and not white people. And who's been buying? People come off of 787, buy their drugs, and leave and go up to Clifton Park. And it just has always made me very annoyed. And number three is I have refused to watch most of the crime shows for the past 40 years because it just fills your life full of fear and dread. And that's not, you don't have to live that way. You can live as if all people are real people.
Let me deal with you on number three, which I find very interesting. As you know, I have watched every Law and Order segment at least three times.
Okay.
And I think they go out of their way not to have African Americans as the perpetrators. Very few. So now that runs counter to what you're telling us, right?
Well, I have watched maybe 20 Law and Orders.
Yeah.
And that's because I had a real good old friend who wanted company while he was getting older and dying.
Yep.
So I have seen Law and Order, and I have found it a very good show. But in general, most shows that are mysteries or murders or crime have people being stalked, having terrible things happening. So people get worried about burglary. They believe that carjacking happens to everybody, that you have to protect yourself with burglar alarms. That everyone's a victim or is just about to be a victim.
Yeah.
It sets the whole country up into being afraid of each other.
Okay.
And
hey,
I think
Annie,
that's a
there
really
are five
important
there are five people behind you, and I want to give everybody a chance, and I thank
sure
you
thing
for making your point. I appreciate it.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Yep.
And we'll go to Jim from Adams. Okay, Jim.
Good afternoon, Alan. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I may be a little bit not precise with my pronunciation. I've had my partial sent out for a new tooth.
Yeah, so far so good.
Okay. Oh, yes. Just that when we, seem to consider questions and concerns about, discrimination, it seems to be, everyone just automatically flies to the B word, black, but there are a great many other minorities who are being treated just as shabbily and maybe sometimes worse than just the black people in the country.
Like who?
Oh, well, Native Americans, number one, from the start of our country, and Asians, and, Hispanic people as well. And all. In fact, I'm primarily of French-Canadian-American extraction, and my grandfather on my mother's side and his family were chased out of Canada by the British, of course. Mm-hmm. That was white on white.
Yeah. Well, do you think everybody's treated the same, or do you think that there's a sort of an order in which people are treated better or worse? I mean, look, there's no question that Latinos are often treated badly.
point. Yeah.
The question then becomes, who's treated worse?
That's a big quandary. Who is being treated worse, I guess, really.
Mm. Hey, Jim, thanks for calling. Appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
Yeah. Bye. Let's go to Sherry in Old Chatham. Okay, Sherry, you're on.
Hi. I think it was on WAMC about a year ago that I heard an interview with a David Kennedy who wrote the book Don't Shoot. Uh-huh. And it was about a community-based approach that brought together the young men, and usually they're mothers, single-parent mothers, and cooperating police with a particular approach that was appealing to the fact that they were equally responsible members of the community, equal with everyone else in the community, to be responsible for a safe community. And there were consequences for violating that trust and that responsibility. But I understood that it had been done in at least two cities and had been very successful, and it sure as hell made sense to me.
Okay, but I find your description, maybe it's me, Sherry, believe me. I don't always listen carefully enough. But in this community-based approach, what does race have to do with this?
Most of these young men were black.
Yes.
who were approached. And it had to do with drugs and with violence and just being young men without jobs and so forth. Mm-hmm. But in the approach here, they were literally developing the concept of empathy, so that the mother and the son and the police were all working together for the sake of the entire community.
Okay. Sherry, thank you for the call. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
To get to everybody in here. Thanks
Absolutely.
Again.
Absolutely.
Okay,
thanks. Bye-bye.
Okay, let's go to Ken in Rosendale. Hi, Ken. You're on.
Hello, Alan. How are you?
I can't hear you. Is that because you're too far from the phone or anything like that?
No. Can you hear me now?
Well, our wonderful board op is taking care of that. Go ahead.
Alan, I am for the stop and frisk policies, and I think they're good, but I think it needs to be balanced with an honest look at race relations and discrimination in our country. And I think what is not being said is, where is the black community's responsibility in the changing of what's happening to their own culture? Why aren't the black leaders, Al Sharpton or anybody else, up in arms when a couple of black teenagers shoot a mother and a baby during a robbery? How come you don't hear about it? Where is their responsibility? Where is their cultural responsibility to stop putting forth music where it highlights being, you know, having street cred, being tough, treating women like hoes?
Yeah, but Ken, okay, I get it. I get it, Ken, but let me ask you this. First of all, is this a matter of individual cases or of aggregate data? Number two, what about all those people who called today and said, you know, if you bring people in chains and you treat them like garbage all of their lives, what do you think you're going to get?
Well, hold on. What do you think you're going to get? I don't know, but how about this? How about if you look at in that spectrum, how about the Chinese who are disposable human beings with the building of the railroad, or the Irish who went into much worse situations than the blacks during that time in American history, because the blacks were property and had value and the Irish didn't.
Do you remember, Ken? Hey, Ken, do you remember the Irish being slaves in this country and sold and bought?
No, they were not treated as property, Alan. They were treated less than property because they had no value.
They had value. They built the railroads. They did all of the other stuff. Don't tell me that.
And they died. No. They died for this country.
But they were white.
The minorities.
But they were white. But the skin pigment.
But culturally,
yes.
Culturally, they bring themselves up. The uh-huh. Chinese come here, they don't speak English, and they're at the top of their class. Mm-hmm. The families hold themselves to a higher accountability in terms of their own education, and they are responsible for bringing themselves up. So what happened 300 years ago was an absolute travesty, but it's no worse. Or, you know, what's happening, let's take, for example, a lawyer that holds back information and knowingly sends a young man to jail should absolutely be prosecuted and not get away with it. And it should happen every time. The judge who is sending the young men to go to jail for profit should absolutely go to jail. But at the same time, the African-American community needs to take responsibility for the message that they put forth to the world and to themselves, and stand up and say that at times our behavior is unacceptable.
Well, Ken, look, we don't agree on it, but I want to thank you so much for making this telephone call, because you're exactly what I was talking about in the beginning. I think every voice has to be heard in this debate. So thank you for calling, Ken.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Yeah. Okay. Let's go to, it's either Saul or Sal. Sal? Or Saul?
Saul.
Saul in Woodridge. Okay, Saul, you're on.
I think that the stop and frisk is very good. And they should keep, and since most criminals are black, which is statistically proven, they should keep pulling over colored people more than the average white.
Are you sure that most criminals are
not most, more than any other minority?
Well, the reason I say that is that we've just had one of the greatest banking scandals in the country, where all kinds of people have been, you know, their homes have been taken away, they're foreclosed, and the rest of it, caused, I think, by some scoundrels at the top. So are they in jail, on the way to jail?
I'm not sure.
The answer is no. They're not, and they've done a lot of harm, is my point. So it's only because, I mean, my bet is that if you arrest people and you say, okay, these are the people who are going to prison, and society will treat some better than others, that's why you say the most are black. I don't know that that's true. I know that that's what we make of it.
And what you said before, that if we bring them in chains, what are they supposed to do?
Yeah.
That's not a problem with the stop and frisk. That's a problem with our society in general.
Uh-huh.
But the stop and frisk, they're doing, a lot of the criminals are black. So even though it might not be their fault that they're criminals, but they're still criminals.
Yeah. Now, are you of color?
No.
Uh-huh. Okay, I always like to think what it would be like to be in somebody else's skin and to know just because of a little skin pigment, you become identified as a potential criminal.
That would probably be, yeah, I agree.
Yeah. Okay, listen, thank you for the call. I appreciate it very much.
Thank you.
Yeah. Let's go to Matthew in the Berkshires. Matthew.
Hey, Alan, how are you? Thank you for taking my call.
Well, anytime. Go ahead.
I just want to call and say, one, I completely disagree with the last couple of callers.
Yep.
But I also wanted to say that I think that the stop and frisk policy, while it was wrong because it was being carried out in a racist way, I also think that it would be wrong to stop and frisk anybody because it's a clear violation of the Fourth Amendment.
You know, I was thinking about that myself, and I raised it with a couple of the callers. So yeah, I mean, would we want to be in a kind of police state? You walk outside your house and you get stopped and frisked, even assuming they were doing it fairly to everybody.
Right.
You know, then I think you'd be having a lot more calls like this one, and where people are talking about violation of the Fourth Amendment.
Yeah.
Well, Matthew, how are things in our hometowns? In the Berkshires?
Things are going great. I love the Berkshires, and it's a beautiful place to be.
It certainly is. Thanks, Matthew. Appreciate it.
No problem. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, let's go to Mary in Clifton Park. Mary?
Hi, yes, Maris.
Maris, I'm so sorry.
Oh, that's fine. Well, I just wanted to, I'm a teenager, and I am of color.
Okay.
I thought it was very interesting how you brought up the point about a little pigment, because my mother is white and my father is Jamaican, so I'm not as dark, but I have pigment. And I actually am a teenager, and I go to a high school that I think knows the fact about how black and white racism is the choice racism here in the States, because we'll have people selling drugs with another black person, and they know that the black person is more likely to be caught. And the white person will keep selling that drug over and over. Our whole school will buy from this one person. And after the black person is punished, of course, and gets off that punishment, then they will split the profits. And so as teenagers, I guess we get the we kind of are seen as not as observant to these things, but it's definitely seen where I go to school, and I see it a lot. And it's really sad because as a person of color, I try my best to to not make it so that I'm easily judged. I try to talk properly, whereas when I go to Albany, I see that people, girls, are talking with slang. They make themselves an easy target to police deeming them as a threat. Same with boys, and so I find this issue to be really sad. It's just a really sad thing to see, and it's just where I am in Clifton Park, I don't see it a lot, but when I go down to Albany, visit some family, it's really disappointing.
Maris, I thank you for your call. I appreciate it very, very much, and I hope you'll call again, okay?
All right.
Thanks, Maris. Okay.
Bye-bye.
We are out of time, believe it or not. We only left one person on the phone, and that's Denise of Saugerties, who wants to applaud the ACLU. Okay, so we are out of time. Support for the Vox Pop comes from the alternative baker, Rosendale Artisan, all butter baked goods made from scratch. Handcrafted lemon velvet cakes and egg sandwiches daily, where taste is everything, lemoncakes.com. Empire Exhibits and Displays, Albany, New York. Custom exhibits, interactive displays, and commercial casework for trade shows, events, museums, and corporate interiors. EmpireExhibits.com. And Sunflower Natural Foods Market, Woodstock, New York, presenting using her herbs and nature's cycles for fun and simple rituals with herbalist Eamon Bell. Friday, August 16th at 6. SunflowerNatural.com. And the Sterling and Francine Clark Art Institution in Williamstown, Massachusetts, presenting the Dover Quartet Tuesday, August 20th, clarkart.edu for tickets. And thanks again, everybody, for joining us on the Vox Pop. Remember, the conversation continues online at WAMC.org /Vox Pop. Our engineer has been, our engineering staff have been on the case. Your producers, Jessica Blaustein Marshall, Ian Pickus, and Sarah LeDuc, helped to answer the phones. Stay tuned now for a news update.
This is Northeast Public Radio, WAMC FM HD 90.3 Albany, WRUN HD 90.3 Remsen Utica, WAMK HD 90.9 Kingston, WO.